Finalizing them. But in summary, I can just say the building blocks that it is an instinct that by the committee and the member-person. That's just what it is. Okay. Chairperson, we have finished all the questions coming from Honorable Muller. In terms of Honorable Ramachandran, we've already dealt with the program philosophy, but he has raised something else, shy of 100%. Let me ask General the Heller to do with the 95, the 99, the 90. What makes us shy from the 100%? And I think it's in different areas, so it may be different.
Thank you, I think it is not really about shying away from the 100%. It is sometimes being realistic in terms of certain factors that may actually affect your delivery in that manner. For instance, if I can just refer to page 47, slide 47, an effective discipline and integrity management capability. We are saying 2015-2016, in terms of the percentage of disciplinary cases finalized within stipulated time frames, we are aiming at 90% of cases finalized within the 90-day period. And we are not using 100% because we are taking into consideration certain factors like during the process of the proceedings, one person, whether it is the chairperson of the hearing or it is the employee, the person may fall sick and not be available, in terms of that. So when we build in, those things, it's because we are also looking at certain factors that may have an effect, which may be beyond the control, of the organization. So that is why we are not saying 100%, but to those that we can actually say we can have control over. Like if we go to the EHW environment and we talk about proactive programs, they will say, because it will be directly under, we will be able to do, the raw action programs, in terms of that. So I think it's not that we are shying away from the 100%. Where we find that we can have full control, we're putting the 100%. But where we find that there might be other external factors, probably, that can influence. That is why we say, and also, on the maturity, of the system. As the system matures, also the system of even using the trial units and so on, then it may be quicker and you may find that you are able to surpass what we have put here. I think it was just on the planning issues that we say, let us not move hastily into 100% because the system has not been matured. Then even in our environment, but probably, General, I need to take this one together with what was raised by Honorable Bede, that in terms of the corruption, they are not looking for any 90% or 95%. They are looking at the 100%. And I think in terms of the organization, yes, the offering commitment is there, but we also need to take it into consideration. Let's take, for instance, if I may just talk about even the IT recommendations. They arrive on the 31st of March, or they arrive on the 30th of March. Technically, you will not have been able to follow the processes in order to come with your 100%. So you will have done, for that financial year, a certain exercise at the same time. Those that have been recorded will have been recorded on the same financial year, but the processes can kick start, on the next financial year. So we also build now, that into the whole thing to say, at least if we are saying 95%, it will cover those unforeseen, circumstances that may cause that you are not able, to to cover an incomplete gap to that. But the commitment of the organization is that for the incidents of corruption that have been, that have been reported, they are going to be investigated.
Thank you, Jay. The questions that are raised by Honorable Matthew were already dealt with the unscheduled leave absence. And then he raised the issue around the variation percentage in terms of infrastructure projects. Then I'd like you to go back to that one because you were saying, is 20% not too high? What informs that? Is it a target that is set by National Treasury? Is it a target that you are setting? You were saying, why not 3%? Can we deal with it?
General, I think I did deal with it. I referred to also the practice note of the procurement of the National Treasury, and when you write it from there, it says can deviate 20% on a capital purchase, a capital procurement, 15% on others. And we also obviously had a look at SCM and look at the actual performance in previous financial years, but that was basically
Thank you, gentlemen. And the geographic analysis we've explained why we are doing the OGW, we are doing looking at other parameters beyond geography, beyond self-SA indicators. There are other indicators that influence policy practice in any environment. We've dealt with those. We then move to questions that are raised by Honorable Bene. He mentioned the issue of strengthening disciplinary processes, resources allocated to them, and I'll ask the General Mikela to deal with it. The issues around overtime payments, and I think that struggles between the three of them. One is on the budget side, where we have been indicated that slides that shows what we're spending on overtime, and we're saying, given our nature of job, we think it's well-maintained and well-controlled. And then there are issues relating to overtime that talk to our nature of work. If German happens and we have to mobilize people from all over and we're looking at the 24/7 or whatever operations, it doesn't things in terms of our overtime. It's the nature of our work. You can estimate it, but you can't be German because the events, the incidents that happen, you know, are diverse and different. We can estimate in terms of maybe national events that are going to be hosted. We know that there's a Champions Cup coming or whatever, and all Africa sports, but there are many other issues that this will happen, and we must find resources to deal with the overtime of members that are going to help in the future and those type of aspects. And then there are issues in terms of probably human resources that are also talking to. I don't know if the colleagues would like to want to comment on that.
Thank you. I think in terms of discipline, issues, I think the two accountability and the budget, and the budget issues. We have already indicated that we are, moving towards the inflection of trial units. And this is exactly on that score that we are moving in that direction, so that we can try and fast track and ensure that disciplinary processes do not drag unnecessarily. They are dealt with and disposed as far as we can. But I think the other thing, which becomes important is that we have the disciplinary regulations, the code that the minister is supposed to to finalize and sign. And if we look at that code of those regulations which are now going to be new in terms of dealing with the disciplinary issues, it is even having time frames of about 10 days where certain of the instances you can dispose of without having to drag the disciplinary issues up to that time. And I don't think there is too much money that is actually linked to the disciplinary issues. But you will find that yes, there is a thing that you will get here and there but with the triad unit, the introduction thereof, as well as the disciplinary codes that are being called, that is going to be signed, within that we are going to be able at least to beat the issue of discipline in that stage.
Just to say, so we cannot do track overtime allocation. We cannot really track a absenteeism of whatever kind pattern. Because the fact of the matter is you might then award money for certain cost centers where you don't really have the management of personnel or vice versa. We try to link the overtime also to employment apart from any other for certain events, and then also as a force, also person multiplier to also add to your outputs. Then what is done in the bottom, that is what I refer to the other man, you should be thinking of doing again, is to say certain percentage should be spent by certain provinces, such as KZN, Western Cape, even Gauteng, during December and November, because then you have your festive season where you have migration, bulk of people going to the coast. And, but on the other hand, your suburbs in Gauteng are then sort of empty. A lot of people go home and the poor go sort of. So the fact of the matter is, and then obviously we look at the unit costs, as the unit costs are not immensely high in one province, not in another. But to merely use that leverage. And you might argue that if you have five people, that you have to use overtime. No, surely it happens in that age. But the allocation of resources and bulk are not according to that, because it will be difficult. They might say that, let's say, provincial commissioner or that cluster commander's decision to see how he or she should, because, as you said, it's highly discretionary of nature, the application of overtime in this regard. But we surely don't go merely and, shove money into the direction of absenteeism challenges. Thank you, sir.
Chair, we then move on to the questions that have been raised by Honourable Panels. Starting with the decreasing of the civil claims, and she had pointed to issues relating to conduct and behavior of the members, to issues relating to safety, disciplinary processes, as well as what was claimed at table 1448. We will be responding to all those. Let me start right at the back in terms of table 1448, but also to say the issue of reducing civil claims is high on our agenda. We've done a few things in terms of just building the government towards making this happen. We're producing, as I've already reported to this committee before, we're producing a monthly litigation report. That litigation report is fully analyzed to show us which province is contributing towards the claims that we're receiving, which cluster, which station. And that at least also has a rule that says, what's the likelihood of this small place being able to produce so much litigation? It pleases the mind, and we're able to do more in-depth analysis to get what is happening. Not only does it help us to do that, but we are also able to focus on training, to analyze, to say, what has happened, what has been the nature of others made, is it behavior issues, is it wrong policy processes, even though it's history, it's a backward thinking type effect, we also do a lot in terms of ensuring that we can direct our training, we can direct our guidance in terms of that. We also go further, Chairperson, to start analyzing things such as who are the lawyers that are playing in this space. And we're starting to see a red line of particular companies, almost similar, and at the back of our mind, we're also looking at what was happening in road accident fund, because we're starting to see common trend lines, and we're saying, are the police becoming the new road accident fund? We've also picked up some emerging trends, and we're tracing that in the of cult people working outside our premises, some of them even in our own pages within the CSE, you know, talking, listening to what people are coming to report and formulating cases. And I'm not absolving ourselves from our contribution towards this, but I'm just saying it's a complex, it's a plural type environment in terms of drivers. So this analysis and the litigation report that we are drawing is assisting us to do a number of things and to focus and to get the policies to actually attend and to start saying, why are we speaking all this time? Why do we have to reside in the image? What should be today if you go home to the television? Small station in Holanda, one, what is that we are losing? If Gordy would be able to see that there are two huge claims coming maybe from a game farmer which are commercial, then they say, okay, that's fine, it explains it. But if OSHA means you are starting to get so intelligent, whatever you are starting to say, something is wrong here, let's reduce that. So that's helping us a lot. We are also starting to look from a few claims point of view, Jefferson, and the educational and image effect of those cases, because we check the media. Just like saying, in the media, what have you seen the residents project in terms of police behavior linked to court from service? So we're starting to do also an analysis, a quick analysis in terms of the media to see which of the cases have caused us, you know, negative impact, which ones have we fought in court successfully because whatever, because it now brings neutrality or negative impact. So that's part of what we're also doing. In addition to the civil claims, whatever, we're also looking at the impact of that on our court, the impact of that on our election, our reputation, and the impact in terms of discipline. What has been done? Because when we speak in the press, we want to know who were there, what has been done. Quality, I want to say, we've also gone into the state in terms of this gentleman when we are looking at recovery. And I know that we are recovering about 11 million right now from 40 cases. So we are also taking that to see where we have to recover negligent accidents and all that, who are holding the police accountable so that we can start to recover. So those are some of those issues. Let me ask HR to respond to this. And then let me maybe close off by dealing with the untouchables. I have mentioned that in the first day to say the police initiated the process of auditing. We threw out those processes, we came to 1448, we are determined to keep the 1448. Currently, this matter is standing as I'm saying, the union has challenged this. They went to court to challenge, we appeal, we want the appeal, they appealed our appeal. So we were waiting for the court to resolve this matter. And then we will take the process that support has gone on to challenge this matter in court. Thank you, John. It's just, I don't know if you want to add anything to the behavior issues and the disciplinary aspects of civil case.
Okay. I think what we can add to that is that we going into a forensic audit. In terms of that, so that the forensic auditors can actually give us an indication in terms of what is sitting there in terms of the law firms that are actually associated with this, but also in terms of other things which are like, because we are also noticing the issue of the behavior of our members in terms of, because when we analyze the report and we try and see what are the causes of these litigations, the unlawful arrest, I mean, become prominent in terms of that. Now, is it because members, I mean, do not know what they have to do, or is it because they do it deliberately in order, I mean, to collude, I mean, with some of the things? So those are some of the things now, I mean, that the forensic auditing is hoping to deep into. And then consequential management kicks in. I mean, immediately we identify that there is something that is, I mean, that is lying here. I think with this little change, that's all right.
That's a lot. I think we must move, colleagues, to question two issues that we haven't
my last question was not answered about the Zimbabwe police being sent in South Africa to pretend to protect Zimbabweans. That's all over, and I need to know if they're armed. We need to know if police from other nations are going to arrive in South Africa. What are we doing about this?
Chairman, there's a law in this country, there's sovereignty, and I believe that in terms of police, it doesn't really change it. I'm unaware of police that are intruding our borders without following, first of all, the law, and if that's the case, then I'm sure we will be responsible to the police together with government to ensure that we do not lose that issue. There are principles in how we police across the borders. I'm not aware of the Zimbabwe measures.
Right, let's go to the last round in terms of program one. We want to focus especially on the building program as well as ICT. Maybe the first three questions from my side, that I think it would be important for the committee to get a comprehensive list. I mean, we don't have to get it now, but maybe next week, a comprehensive list of building projects to be completed in the 15-16 financial year. This is going to the start of the project as well as the funds spent to date. And then we want also to know the reason for the overruns, time, value, and quality, and the contract that we can deliver on any aspect, the reason as well as sanctions in terms of the building project itself. Then I think the portfolio committee during its various visits to police stations identified section 13, such certain schools as a focus area. I mean, it varies. We'll get pieces of evidence, firearms, cabinets. I mean, it's problematic. So I think what we also would prefer from our side as a recommendation that for the 15 or for the 16, 17 IGP, that should be a focus area, and that there should be oversight to ensure that those stations that are struggling with it, that we deal with it effectively. Then also the question of holding cells between 16-17 financial year. We also, observe that some stations are still a problem. So how can we deal with that? And then the extent of the use of private leases under the SAMS for police stations. The bulk of the allocation of SAMS infrastructure budget of towards private leases, 1.4 million budget, and SAMS should provide a list of the approximately 1130 police stations, the number of police owned by SAMS and those managed by SAMS. And then we saw in the ACP also the targets for building projects, maybe just to get an indication where that's realistic in terms of the past performance of public works. The problems to get the necessary support. We can just get an indication on that. Right, that's the question from my side. Other members?
Thank you for those. In terms of our first one, the kitchen, we will submit a comprehensive project plan. We have looked at what was raised in there, as I said, to the 15-16 project plan. I think we will also include ones that are scaled over so that you have a sense. And then we can get to what the social governance and how we're dealing with those aspects. Let me then ask a general to talk to a focus on the subject specific, all of that we're doing now, and we embrace your recommendation that we give even more impetus and results on this. We have had a workshop just at the beginning of the year, a dialogue, to talk about basic policing, basic basics.
I think firstly, such letting stores rank the highest priority for inspectorate. With among the inspectorate priority stations, the such letting camps, they are top of the list. And two, from the basic policing in the National Commissioner referred to, We have also linked the management of the substituting terms to the compliance board, which is a inspectorate compliance board. What will be happening in this financial year is those police stations where substituting is not effectively managed appearing before a compliance board, and there's going to be some sanctions. And they have also been prioritized for all station visits by all officers, but from the entry visits, which are controlled from the combined assurance point of view. But it also then includes the pay policing functions of the station commander, the transfer commander, and as well as the commander.
Thank you, General. I think what we'll do is to request maybe just at some point to update the credentials of the director that the special that follow and how we will be dealing with the regularization of the aspect. President, then we go into the issue you raised around voting cells. I think there are three areas that should come into common sense. General Kwanaki from the physical infrastructure perspective, and then the schedule to talk a little bit around other things dealing with that in terms of our physical infrastructure assets. General Shehi and General Shehi around issues of our systems, you know, cameras, medication, all those type of issues, because that also talks to policing aspects, FTPs and all the general story on policing practices. I know it's very challenging also in terms of this forever. So if you can just talk about police practices and managing cells, so if we can deal with it in that perspective. May I ask the colleagues to talk?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think given the escape challenges that we have, we have come up with a national escape plan, which is of a project plan. In terms of this particular plan, we are also working together with the other environments, because our estates, they range from the state of vehicles, a court, and also at the police station. And then within basic policing again, we have strengthened our SOPs that went to the monitoring that applies to families, because there's clear standing orders as to what should happen. We have also linked the management of holding cells to the compliance board within the inspectorate, because if there is an escape, our approach has changed. Not only the controllers who would be involved in who would be negligent of the escape. We also escalated to the responsibility of the commander's officer, station commander. If the patrol commander would check in, how often have we been to this station? I think there's a certain great precedent in his opinion. Then there's also specific operational interventions like your surprise visit and stretching of yourselves. Management of them, we're also strengthening at court level, so that we make sure that our whole set even at court level, they are also up to standard. Thank you.
I think from the committee side, we want to welcome that approach to making the accountability chain. You know, I mean, that will help, you know, to address it as not only at the source level, but also at the management and the effective response. So that's very good. General Sinner. Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, in our strategic plan, also in the APP, you have these capital projects and this, the different phases of site clearance, construction, etc. If we focus on the construction numbers here, I'm going to ask General Bernazi also to comment. They are idealistic, they're optimistic, but they have to be idealistic. Say such a big priority of government. Now, between the devil and the UPC, I'd rather come here and not make it on a high target than come here and not have a sufficient target and members who question and say, first, I mean, you've got only a few. I think this important environment. If I, and we have some kind of an assessment, especially if you look at the situations being built, chances are good that we'll be delivered this year, because these are completions, these are not commissions. Then you have to repair and upgrade, 18 and some say 8. I think a number of them could be achieved. Then you have the accessibility for persons with disabilities, and all of those projects are stations, not others, other office recommendations for instance. You have, this already is in 28, then you have to reconfigure facilities, also a exclusion phase of 23, and then you have your mobile unitary 3 and support. Chairperson, they are unique, and we have had challenges with DPW in the past, and I think just quickly the President without explaining it, some of the planning processes are very lengthy. We had our environment, it is a change of priorities, that is not applicable anymore. We have to have contingency plans. Projects are planning, not to stop anymore, because that contributed in the past. Non-performance from contractors, as I went to this show again, park my car and walk around the building, it's going on, but I think we are now a 6th contractor. Then lengthy procurement processes, that is a scenario. And then also litigation, you can't just throw a contractor or subcontractor aside, you have to go to court again on site. So some of them still remain, some of them don't. Let's just try and I also, we've committed ourselves that we'll do our utmost to see what we can achieve in this regard. Just one question about leases. We'll give you the split on leases as a respect on police space, the 139. It's an interesting fact. We have 49% of all leases in government. Nearly 50% of all leases in government by the police. We are indeed very, very big, but what we do is we try to switch the whole time. But it's easier said than done because to build is sometimes a more lengthy process, but we are doing that, for instance, for Philippi and so forth, just recently. But the fact of the matter is we have to house, on the other hand, also we are the biggest, probably the biggest department in numbers. So, you know, the 29% of these should also be viewed in terms of the magnitude of numbers. But I'm going to ask you from Kunali also to express an opinion on whether we're going to achieve it or not. I know with my sit here, looking to the same pair of eyes within a year, you said you were too optimistic maybe, but it was thought through, it was considered, there are internal variables if you do any strength, weakness, opportunity and threat analysis, but at the end of the day you have to strive for something in this regard. You've just referred to some of the problems you've had in your business. So, as I said, guys, it's in a rock and hard place that we have to go for a release of story.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and the members. Yes, Chairperson, the target that the subs, what you see on the plan is the target the subs have developed, which mainly focusing on the number of facilities that are controlled by subs, which are devolved. So it's one of the stations. The bulk of it is going to be done by Public Works. They did submit we did submit our needs to them and they drop their plan and we do hope that they'll be able to deliver the results. We set up the target of our GMCA on 80% surfacing because trying to look at the risks that are associated with this environment, the contractors that don't perform and any other factors that are affected the policies. That's why we couldn't comment 100% because we've learned from the past experience that the risk that is involved. There's a total of about 6,979 buildings that we are responsible for the renovation as a whole. But only 278 of those it's only staff that are responsible for. They are rent probably. So we are among them some are leased, some are stable. Chattering on in terms of our other regions, there are a certain number of stations that we have in the organization, 1,358. We have only 102 stations that are leased. the rest of people. In terms of our asset register, Jefferson. We'll acknowledge that the total budget of 4.3 billion, as you right, correctly indicated, we only focusing on about 3.9 billion, is only the last way far we work. And only 400 million of that is for us. Taking that into consideration, we engage in public work, trying and streamline certain processes between us and them. Among that, there is an MOU signed by the National Commission and the DG on public work to try and assist us to make sure that we can, you know, get this project underway. We have envisaged to have a workshop. There is a meeting that only the senior management of facility management in Pretoria, together with public work mission, that are going to be meeting next week and discussing the way forward. And thereafter, we're going to be involving the research managers and professor heads as well. So we can hope that out of the entire budget, Jefferson, that a good percentage of the budget will be spent on both sides. Thanks.
Thank you, Jefferson. Also, the whole discussion from the ICT point of view, Jefferson, in fact, I didn't comment on the entire ICT strategy for the police station. We have developed a blueprint for different types of police stations, saying for a new police station, over a particular migration, what type of a basic ICT should be in place. So that has been incorporated with what you need to be in order to know what should be in part of the layout in the ICT environment to go through them. But what I've already done in addition to all the management tools that have been added is we consider also the strategies on rolling out HTTPs as well as metal detector or access control into those environments just to ensure the deterrence in those environments as well. It's something that it is end up being a planning phase. It is part of what we're considering in part of the HTTP planning with all those which will also assist in enhancing, you know, security along with those stations or those buildings. Thank you.
Thank you for that response. Any missing questions from your side? Nothing at this stage. Maybe just on the ICT, I think you referred on Tuesday, I think the information that was provided by the National Commission, I think you're right, in terms of ensuring that there is alignment in terms of all the ICT systems within the police. But if we can just get a more tangible, you know, let's say, timeline, you know, in terms of ensuring, in terms of rationalization, we've got those processes, CSR, review, the CSR process, but maybe just in short, you know, in terms of the next 2 years, what positive, you know, results can be seen as a committee, you know, coming out of that process, you know, that we address a lot of the current systems that are problematic, systems that are not adding value, and, you know, managing the new technology, we can just get a full perspective on that.
Thank you, Chairperson. The last question is quickly outlined on the annual performance standard that has been submitted for the comments, page 41, 42, and 43 thereof. The Chairperson will take note that we have broken down the IT into just three main categories. The infrastructure side, which looks particularly to the network upgrade. And in this little session, we have quite serious challenges in terms of the networks of the entire stuff. Chairperson will recall that among my issues, which are permanently coming on before the committee, the utilization of the e-scanning capabilities, for example, the e.fr. You would recall that this, for some of the police stations, we have the scanners available, but not utilization of the scanners, because among the reasons that we've provided are the network issues or the network problems that have been highlighted. So within this year already, Chairperson, I'm excited, I'm looking forward to come back to say that other methods are upgraded, the utilization of the system that has been rolled out is picking up, which we have already committed that we need to provide the citizen that is fair. We have moved from December in the previous financial year in getting solicited work done in upgrading our network, so we are seeing in that space that will be significant development, and we are excited looking forward into it. When we have looked at from page 42 to 43, we have provided all the systems that are managed. All the systems that are listed in there are partly CDS, partly IDS, partly SAP operations. What we have done in the financial year, we have broken down to say that which systems are in the development phase, which ones are in the implementation phase, which ones are in the maintenance phase, so that it makes it easy for us to be able to monitor to see how do we say this of development and maintenance, you know, with the focus that is going on. What the CSA are going to be helping us, amongst other things, you know, in terms of evaluating the system, is the skills transfer, capacitation of our own members within SAP to be able to roll out on those policies. So within the year or two from the process that we have already engaged with CSA, we are confident that most of these areas where we have identified development, we shall achieve all the impact. More than 90% level. So the programs are running well, they are fairly on track. In our next appearance, perhaps when we come on in our next meeting, we'll be able to say how far have all those that we've already identified and listed to see that and how have they progressed and what will be the impact thereof. The last thing is really pursue the policy element of it. The governance compliance, the National Commissioner 2 days ago highlighted how we have moved the progress from position 2015 to a common set of things. He highlighted the governance aspects, but among other things that are holding us back at the ICT strategies and turnaround, we have deliberately focused on that area as well. So part of the key outcome that we are looking for from the CIR and other partnerships is to just generate the workable ICT strategy for the police, not giving the entire infrastructure laid up over the years and our entire platform. So what is key for me then is that foundational aspect of it to say, how do I look like I'm doing, how do I build from somewhere in the internet? So I feel I know how I look like, I want to know where to improve. So we are in that space where we are looking for what to know, how do we look like so that we are able to build. So that will improve our governance significantly. So our major priorities among the race that is prioritized, and so when we come back, we'll be talking still at attention.
I think, Chair, to wrap up this discussion, I want to say we have to look at it from two vantage points. The one vantage point is how we organize internally to deal with the issues of our own infrastructure, to deal with the issues of our technology management. What you have, I think, what Sheldon quite sketching to just give you a profile of what you're teaching with them and whatever. It's going to assist us to go forward to look at what is it that we can do internally as a police to drive their assets. What Gender Care is also talking about is to also show what are those things in technology management that you control upon and how we manage those variables. I would like to say to you as a group of that, say, what we cannot use out of are the learner dependencies that are legislative in nature, that are causing a serious burden also in terms of these turnaround processes that we're dealing with. One, again, as one has indicated, we have serious holders with our dependencies with TPLP. And as those statistics were being given, it is very clear that a bulk of our of the responsibility lies in the department. Starting to do something probably better than this that is pleasing to yourself as a committee, also to other people who are appointed into it.
We have to write, to negotiate, to screen, to
back to us to say, hey, you are going to allow us to go to the market using the very same data that you had, so that we can advance some of it. And you can't do things for us. It will take us 6 years to upgrade our station. So I just want to highlight this presence here and say, DPW, CISA, and at some point it may well be necessary we would hide under your shade, so that you give us in having maybe joint sessions with the leader of the committee, so that we can ask you to appeal.
That visa was provided to us at the end of January, beginning of February, and we only used that authority until March, April, month. This is the lesson we should refer to. Now, if you have 500 sites in 2 months, it's an immense issue. So we try to recruit, but those are the kind of things that makes it a bit difficult to the third party, such as because he doesn't say this is not exist, we're going to go away. All he's saying is we want productive models.
John, thank you for that. I think I think as a committee, maybe just that's one issue. I think it's important for the committee, and we might have time and play, to get again the public to work and sit down back to this committee, and also get our colleagues from those committees involved that can address the concerns expressed here. Honourable Balabana.
A couple of questions. I wonder if you could give us a status report on projects under the CIR after that launch. I'm not sure what projects are underway. There's a big memorandum of understanding, signed, etc. I presume it falls, whoever it falls under. Actually, General, consider the 1.1 billion annually that goes on leisure. It's massive. Are there controls on how many individuals may benefit from leisure from the cash? Or are we talking about five people earning a billion a year? I don't know. I mean, we certainly had difficulties with that exact problem under the previous national police commission. And finally, to the National Peace Commissioner, it suddenly struck me of the 1448. Have any of them been promoted since the criminality audit was completed? And where is the rest of the audit the following 3 years? When that going to be released? Thank you.
Thank you,
Mama Colabano,
National Commissioner.
Sure, thank you very much. On the CIR matter, what I advance what we would request is maybe to submit a full report on where we have been, what has been prioritized, what is progressing, what has been finished, what is still waiting, because it's quite an elaborate exercise. If we are given that permission, we will present back to the committee in personnel. And then on the 1448, I would request human resources to do the analysis equally that submitted to you to check all the data and come back to you. There was another question to the question.
Chairperson, to you, we prepare those four big commodities, all in place of care, they're professional, except capital works, accommodation charges, municipal accounts, and leases. Leases we can only prepare like DPW. So we don't have direct access with the landlord. It goes to the DPWBAC, the certification committee, and they do a negotiated schedule. To answer your question, though, whether you have a restricted or a limited amount or number of leases that you can have with, for instance, government, I will not be able to answer you. We can find it out because we're not dealing precisely, but I don't think it should necessarily be the case. But we can find out for you the reason being we don't procure it ourselves. We put the request, cost estimates and so forth, we have to enter the market, they look at rates, they can advertise, they go into
to the evening of the session, we're going now to invisible policing programs and late stage visible policing. Oh, sorry, very difficult, you know. You're welcome.
I think you're on a chance. Maybe can you want to National Commissioner say you're going to make available? If you could get communication, remember when we talked about the MOU issues and the list of partnership areas that are going to be allocated. We did ask which one of the departments are in the financial year that's about to start. So if you could get some indication, we will have to see by a time sheet in terms of in the document which area that we are going to have already in this financial year. We don't have to see for that. That would be useful.
Thank you, Honourable Member Sukhani. Good afternoon to the delegation from Sectional Visible Policing. I think I will give over to the National Commissioner to introduce her team and then we can then start with the presentation. Thank you.
Some questions for my speaker now. Maybe because I'm still going to look for it. Sheila, can I have a different member here?
Yeah, maybe just indicate that we've got a little technology challenge in terms, I think, of the overhead projector, so we'll have to use the notes.
If I'm allowed to answer at some point when I start answering the question, may I request to introduce them at the point that I will inform my official speaker on just a bit. Can I go ahead with introducing the program? Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in terms of program two, I invite members to look into all the areas, Chairperson. I can go back to the the members that are here in terms of program two, I will just go to the ones that have come in now and I'll ask them to maybe stand up as I mentioned their name. If I've omitted anyone, I would wish they to advise me. Major General S. Nash, who is the Acting Divisional Commissioner for Visible Policing. Major General Chipu, who is the Acting Divisional Commissioner for Operational Response Service. Is Chipu here, who is representing the... Only the Senate General Chipu, okay. Major General Zuma, who is the Home Commissioner for Border Policing. Thank you. Brigadier Sumoto, who is the Acting Component Head for Firearm Liquor Secondhand Goods, the Group Policy. Okay. General Kelsey, Management Information. Lieutenant General Mulman, the Group Policy. I will also introduce, I think they are with them, the members of the Detective Service, including DPCI, because they are already here. Lieutenant General Sami. Thank you. Major General Taylor from the Division of Detective Service. Major General Johnson from General Crime Investigations. Major General Ramasulu, Specific Crime Investigation. And at the head of the DPCI, Major General Senator. I'm not sure if General if you come with any other person that I know. Maybe you can just introduce the General. Introduce General. promise to move with us to slide number 61 as I introduce this program. People policing will deal with issues of the purpose. The purpose is to enable politicians to institute and develop safety and security, and to provide for specialized interventions and the policing of South Africa's borders. Terms of surveillance objectives, the portfolio is to discourage all crimes by providing proactive and responsive policing service that will reduce the levels of priority crimes. The risk call program comprises of three areas: crime prevention, border security, and specialized intervention. To present and lead the indicator presentations in this area, I then ask Lieutenant General Stoney to walk us through the risk call indicators and targets. General Stoney, please.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the National Commission. Firstly, I just want to start by explaining a three-tier principle which we have followed in determining the target, so that when the calculations give us members, especially following a three-year average calculation, some of the indicators. And then, in some way, following the 13-14 auditor's performance. And then in others, it's a continuation which includes some split here, the split of areas that you will find. And then, in determining our target, also we looked at target phase resource planning. And we also looked at other factors such as deviations from core business, from policy, as well as your partner policy. Just when I started, I want to follow the same principle as we followed. I'm going to be taking you through the first column, and which is the strategic priority. The second column, which is the performance indicator, then I'll go straight to the 15-16 targets that we set. On the first one, Honorable Chair, the strategic priority is reduce levels of serious crimes, including crimes against women and children. The first indicator is number of reported serious crimes. The target for 15-16 is 1.790438 in numbers. The second indicator is number of reported crimes against women, singling out women, and the target is 168,159. The third indicator is number of reported crimes against children, and the target is 45,034. The last indicator under the strategic priority is the number of reported crimes for unlawful possession of and dealing in drugs. The target is 294,737. Moving to slide 53, the strategic priority is addressing contributors to crime. The first indicator is percentage of stolen lost firearms recovery in relation to the number of firearms reported stolen or lost. The target 15-16 is 85% of, with a minimum of 85% of reported stolen or lost firearms. The second indicator is percentage of stolen loss of state-owned firearms recovered in relation to the number of firearms reported or stolen. The performance of 15-16 is recovering a minimum of 24% reported stolen or lost firearms. Moving to the next indicator of slide 64, is the percentage of stolen lost vehicles recovered in relation to number of vehicles reported or stolen or robbed. The 15-15 target is recover a minimum of 50% of reported stolen or robbed vehicles. Moving to the slide 65, still on the same strategic priority, if the quantity of illicit drugs confiscated as a result of police actions. Our 15-16 targets increased by 3% to 283.817 to 72 kilograms of cannabis. Again, here we have applied the double principle. It's the performance target based on political performance as well as the average calculation on all the other types of drugs. Moving to slide 66, still on the same city priority is the volume of liquor confiscated as a result of police actions. Our 15-16 targets increased by 3% is 1.846243 liters. The second indicator is the percentage of persons escaped from police custody versus arrested and charged. The 15-16 targets we decided to maintain, not exceeding 0.08%. The next one is a new strategic priority, which is quality, service delivery, and responsiveness. The first indicator is the percentage of applications via arm license, permits, authorization, competence, decisions, and renewals. The 15-16 targets 90% of all applications have been finalized within 90 days. Same strategic priority, percentage of police stations rendering a victim-friendly service to victims of rape, sexual offences, domestic violence and abuse based on the minimum criteria. Our 15-16 targets 100%. Enhancing partnerships, policing, percentage of police stations where sector policing has been implemented according to the minimum criteria. Our 15-16 targets is 95%. Will also be some criteria adjustments that you also find here, which include the setup profiles. The next indicator on the self-specific priority percentage of operational community police forums implemented at police stations according to set guidelines. The 15-16 intended target is 99%. The next strategic priority was like today, enhancing partnership policing. Number of rural and rural urban means of stations implementing the minimum criteria of the four pillars of the rural safety strategy. Our 15-16 target is 637 cumulative. Next indicator, number of crime awareness campaigns. Our 15-16 target is 65. It's the number of 65 awareness campaigns. Next indicator is number of schools being reported settings to advance the school safety program. Our 15-16 target is 5,000. This particular indicator also includes an adjustment in terms of the criteria, which now gives you the functionality part of this process. The next strategic priority on slide 69 is the effective border security management. First indicator is the percentage of unrelated leads reacted to as a result of movement control system electronic. Our intended performance within 16 is 100% related to all this. Then movement control system screen on one page and person circulated, which is the next indicator. On this one, two is to maintain 100% reaction. Moving to slide 70, strategic priority for this incident of a public disorder of security nature, which are not deemed to be normal, that is crime. He said there is the NIU on top, the Special Task Force and the Public Order Police Unit our intended supplemental court view of the misconduct threat. The next priority, the carrying of available and or dangerous cargo, is issued with reference to the intended performance 15 seconds of 100%. I think this is our last indicators on visible coding. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Right, we'll then go to the members. Members? Yeah, Honorable Bede. We'll start with yours. Thank you, Chairperson. I'd just like to take us to the first two slides. Slide 62 and 63. The first 1, 2, 3 indicators of slide 62 all speak about all aim for a reduction in the reporting of all those crimes, which I said even last year during this process is problematic because it poses the risk of incentivizing the police to turn away victims when they come to report crimes committed against them, just so that the numbers look good. So I still have an issue with that reduction-oriented target in relation to those crime categories, because sometimes it can hide what's really going on. But nonetheless, my question in relation to the first slide is why are those crimes reduction-oriented, but the drug possession and dealing category is targeting an increase? I would like to understand what the logic and underlying thinking is between the one targeting a reduction and the other an increase, because if I were to predict forward in terms of the incentive system that sets up for staff members on the ground, they will chase after, not the shooters, but it's going to create a lopsided incentive for members to go after small-time drug dealers who are dealing in marijuana, and the system is not really being geared up towards assisting victims of the other crimes who in the works are a bit more difficult. My second question then on slide 63 is to ask for an explanation of the discrepancy between the recovery rates of stolen and lost firearms overall, which is at least 5, whereas the target specifically for state-owned firearms is only at 24%. Are we saying that we know that there's far less state-owned firearms that are lost, and even if that were the case, why would you aim to recover a smaller percentage of them as opposed to generally more firearms? That's what I'm asking, prison.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mullah Basit, Honorable Mullah, Honorable Court of Honor, Honorable Ramachakon, and Honorable Marshall.
Thank you, Chapter 10. Nyaube is tearing our communities apart, but Nyaube is not included in the target for recovering illicit drugs. Why? Thank you.
Thank you, Chapter 10. Please indicate the manner in which the health environment will be capacitated during 2015-2016, especially in the light of the additional funding request for $3.3 billion that was not accommodated by the National Treasury. Number two. Will you please elaborate on the school safety program and possibly provide evidence of the impact this program has on safety in communities, especially in and around schools?
Thank you very much, Honorable Mabula. Honorable Code of Honor.
Thank you very much. Similar question about firearms. I'd like your thoughts, or if you've done any research on it, why is it that it seems most civilian firearms lost are then recovered, and yet from the high 80s percent, but then only 23% of the fresh farms lost on cut. Isn't it you tell me, I'm curious. And again, there have been excruciatingly low numbers of statutory members held to account for loss of their firearms. I mean, it's in the single-digit percentages last time I checked. Now, is that being taken more seriously? And I did ask once before, are there serial offenders? Are there people who allegedly lose a firearm annually or twice a year? I don't know how often. They're constantly pushing to replace. And in fact, they're selling because that's the word on the street. So please just tell me about that. And also, your recovery of vehicles was 77%. Then it dropped to 67%. And now you've dropped the target to 46%. That's a massive drop in what you hope you will be able to do in terms of recovering stolen vehicles. What on earth is going on there?
Thank you very much, Honorable Professor Khan.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The size that the first one, or the first to 62, I just want to understand the crime that depend on the activities of the police, particularly the issue about the position of drugs and so on. We put it at 30%. Now, I'm looking at the two columns of the what has been posted, and I see the numbers there. Now, I just want to find out, Commissioner, the 13%. The 13%, I mean, we're talking visible police, we're talking kind of action, probably in terms of driving operation, where more of these particular numbers go up. The high growth shows the successes of the police. So if you're teaching at 13%, do you think, I just want to get to this 13%, the 150%, for an example, 150%, because this is actually one of the problems that we have. So I just want to understand the head of that, why 13%? So 13% each on basis of maybe less operation in the previous year, and planning to have slightly more than the last year. Because for me, I would think that if we're quite serious about this particular country, this is the one that we should be pushing. The 13% really looks very, very small in terms of numbers. And then the next one is the firearm issue that the recovery of the stolen horse vehicle on page 64. I was wondering, Commissioner, that 50% or perhaps 30% looks better than 46% the previous year. So just the addition of around 4% to make 50%. I just want to find out, is it linked to a capacity in the police to be able to reduce that number? Because most of these cars today, they have lots of gadgets that how to determine what's happening with the car, whether they're not reaching the border. So I just want to find out that why 50%. And secondly, in terms of your partnership with the manufacturing of these cars, in terms of what technology is better to actually help the police to do their work effectively around vehicles, testing. On the page 65, 3% is the projection in terms of what you want to achieve. I also, more or less the same question I asked earlier on. Maybe 3% is based on the kilogram of the previous year. But the question I really ask is that good enough for us to be able to combat these states in terms of this, or the weaknesses that we have is in terms of enhancing or utilizing the community with the best repository of information in order to combat this? Is it because of the lack of that that we are unable to increase the number 3% for this? I just want to also find out, Commissioner, what is why 3%? Why not 20%? Why not 25%? On this particular issue, I refer. And then over the page on the 3% comes on this one. The 3% around the issue about Vika, the issue about confiscation and Vika issues. Well, one understands that there's been a lot of delay in terms of legalization of taverns and so on. But the question I'm asking on the 3%, why 3%? When we know that Kylie Sando has 200 of these illegal people, why is he using a better percentage? It is linked to the issue of resources, the police operation plan that is built not sufficiently, and the issue about, and this is the, just below that one, is the issue about the people who escape from custody. And I see the percentage there not exceeding. I just want to find out as well here. What is the percentage? Is it linked? When I look at the previous day, I said 57. I mean, it was 0.057. So the other one is just called 0.048. So I just want to find out what was. Now I do know that General Secretary mentioned that you rather come here with something that we can deliver. Not any too high that he cannot deliver. Maybe this is just also informed by the same perspective. Maybe it will help if we get into that. But I see the 9% around responsiveness. I think it's very good that the police is concentrated. And then the community policing forum, I see you kept it at 50%, 90%. I wonder, why 90%? Why not 100%, you know? Because these are the existing type of community structures. So if you want to make an impact, surely you should be aiming high. Because some of these are not necessarily financially driven in terms of what it takes, enhancing of those kind of existing already. Now the schools, I don't want to do this, let me just say that there's the one below that is a number of schools that's linked with the safety school program. I think it's good. It's not thousand, but I think we can, building on that partnership, increase it more, but maybe we'll have to monitor it on the 10,000 for now. Let me just pause there.
Thank you very much for that. Honourable Margaret.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm still on page 62 and page 63. It's a rather bit confusing, the way it is reported. I understand that we are talking about proactive and responsive policy, which means that you want to reduce the crimes themselves. But here it's put as if you reduce the poaching, not the crimes. And according to me, the reporting, if you put it in terms of percentages, has always been harm, not law. So I think the way it is put here is confusing. reporting on crimes against women has increased in terms of percentages. It must increase because statistics say women don't usually report rape. In terms of percentages, you might find that the cases that are reported is 60% of the actual rapes. So my understanding, you can reduce the crimes, but the reporting according to me must increase. So that's what I'm saying. It's not well. It must be put in some other way. Otherwise, it will need to be unpacked in some aspects. But you can't say reporting must be increased. I didn't make any sense. On page 63, I think the recovery, minimum recovery of state-owned stolen firearms, in order for it to make sense to me, it might just be separated from the other stolen, unless if within your system it's not possible to do that. Because if you are going to say you want to recover only 23%, why should you put such an estimate? According to me, you must recover 100%. Can't target 23%. Why should you do that? If the overall is 84, it's an impression that the state owns, you don't want to recover the state of. And why should you say in relation to the overall stolen? It's rather very confusing to me. I would suggest that you separate the two. I understand that if you are a mathematician, you can calculate the numbers and get it, but it's necessary for me to go up to that level. It must just be put very clear. Or if there were 226 stolen, still owned firearms stolen, just keep the percentage of that on its own. That's my comment, Honorable Chairperson. I think it's something that's not right.
Thank you for that. And maybe just on my side, I think yes, the committee want to welcome the introduction of the rural and police stations implementing the new criteria. The purpose, I think, is very good. I mean, we need to publish on the rural police station. But we have a broader vision also looking at it. That we see from civil society on Tuesday, the vision of all South Africa on the police side, the vision of detecting crimes. A lot of people are saying that are not reporting crimes, especially in relation to crimes against women and children, they hold it because of maybe various reasons. Now, in your targets, of course, there is the vision for programs in the schools, but also the role of the community police force. What can we do from a strengthening police? Community policing perspective to ensure that we increase reporting of crime. Because on the one hand, people will say, well, what is the use? You know, I just want to report it to get that number to claim. In other instances, people are responding. How do we deal with that section on the ground to ensure that the citizenry buy into the community policing concept? Maybe just to get some perspective on that. That would be appreciated. Then the
Yeah, thank you. I'm again going to follow the procedure we have put. Agenda list or resolution present to go through the questions. I will then comment at the end. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, we're going to be responding to the questions for the team. We're going to be picking up certain questions from our team members and also respect the responding to the others. The first question was regarding the risk of hiding the reporting that is on the first slide. I think it's more of a question of a language. When we speak recording from a policing perspective, we link reporting to prevention. So we prevent crimes from increasing the number of reported, but in actual fact, we are targeting the crime itself. In terms of prevention, and we also have in our columns, the column that we need to prevent is the column of reported cases. But we're not disputing the language. The understanding could be different, but that's what we need to prevent. But I also wanted to bring in other measures which are put in place. From inspectorate side, we have prioritized the manipulation of crimes, and this includes their particular hiding. So from a monitoring perspective, there's very strong controls which are put built into it. And if any station or any unit is found manipulating crimes, it's a serious disturbance. It's called criminal department. So the hiding part, it's not very easy. There's very strong controls to that. The second one is on the increase regarding drugs. Yes, the other crimes we are targeting an increase. I think the slight difference here again from drug prevention and combating perspective. There are those crimes which we prevent, but there are those crimes which we refer to as crimes dependent on police action. Those crimes must go high if it shows that we are working. And drugs is one of those crimes which are dependent on police action. That is the rationale behind that indicator targeting the increase. So if we are increasing the confiscation of drugs, I think that is the area of performance so that we can reduce their availability. The third question we're relating to the discrepancy of the recovery rates between state and private firearms. I'm going to give it to the National Council.
Thank you, Honourable
Chairperson,
Honourable Minister. The reason why the target for the state island of police firearms, the recovery rate, is lower than the overall target, is because for us to be able to determine whether the firearm we recovered is state owned or police firearm, we need to be able to identify. Now, a large number of the firearms we recovered, the identity markers have been removed. So in the overall firearms we recover, in other words, in the first indicator we speak about 85, 86, and 87% of increase in target, we can count all those firearms recovered, whether we can identify them or not. We can count all of them. But when trying to relate it specifically to whether the firearm lost or stolen was found under police hands, we need to be able to identify the firearm. And the reality is that a large number can't be identified. And that is why we've looked at the trends for the last couple of years, the last NPS period, of what did we recover in terms of stolen firearms. And we increased the target from 33% to 24%. But essentially, that is the reason why that target is lower, because we can only count the ones we can identify and a large number of the firearms, especially when they've gone into the criminal market, the identification markings are being removed. And that is something that we're working on in terms of how can we better identify firearms in such a way
you, Honorable Chair. The next question raised by the Honorable Member regarding the addition of Ngaude in the list of the trust. I just want to indicate that we have started a national program specifically on Ngaude. We have actually identified the effects of Ngaude, and part and parcel of addressing that, we have identified crossroads nationally on Ngaude. And we will be addressing the first, that is, what is brought forward by the Provincial Commission, which is your comprehensive policy. A comprehensive point of view, they are also assisting us with scientific analysis of the drug. I think if once we are over and done with the scientific analysis, we will then be able to help as the drug. We did not necessarily have all information. What is it, what is it made of? We know that the dominating chemical is heroin, but I think forensic services is assisting us, and we're also strengthening from the side of investigation. We have also been discussing the drug master plan, but then we have the advice that should be added in the structure. Then the capacitation of public order.
You know, it's very easy to know what is in there. In the shopping complex in Harangua, I went in and sat on a fridge next to them, and they were missing these things. I can tell you exactly what they put in there now. Everything that is, including ceramic type. I can count them all. I saw them. But now I'm worried if you say you don't know what is in the zero ring.
Yeah, so sorry, Chair. From a layman perspective, I know. But for us to police the drug, we need a concerned scientific analysis. So that's the definitely we're moving from. And also, Honorable Chair, the Nyawube in the one area, the concoction is different from another area and from another area. With that particular place, we then let's get the holistic analysis first. We know exactly what we call it. And the certain chemicals or that we need to focus on, like we want to kill the drug. When killing the drug, we need to strengthen measures against heroin, because they one of the cases we get is that the most infectious chemical is heroin. And if you take heroin out, you almost kill the drug. But I confess, We know. We just have to confirm to thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, the capacitation of the structure plan, which is based on multi-year planning, is linked to the NTF. This particular plan has been presented to the National Commission, and the analysis last year. And the National Commission has escalated it to other areas up until 2007. So that particular plan is there, and we are moving from the base of trying to get this particular capacity and link it to the challenge. I want to believe that the National Commission will add to it at the later stage. Then the school safety progress. I think firstly, our school safety programs, they are informed by the MOU between ourselves and Department of Education. In terms of that particular school program, we start from that unit of linking all police stations, all schools to police stations. We're also flagging them to sector policing because each and every school is within a sector. And we're also encouraging in the SDPs to work with the sector concern that is around the school. The National Commissioner gave us direction where we decided to change the approach in terms of the police day and the escalated to the community outreach. In in terms of the Carmel community outreach, we are reaching out to all schools. And this particular program has been launched nationally, provincially, and is now localized. And then at this particular level, we deal with quite a lot of issues, awareness, which deals with drug-related issues. A lot of time to be there with the resilience of the school or the learners. We are also trying to move now to a level where we engage with education to say, can we get crime to all current matter of the problems? In the olden days, I remember vocational guidance, and then this time they call it something as life orientation, that's in orientation. So maybe we can agree with them to call something as long as we just do it. So, and there's various other programs that we are linking between other, we include other government departments, regional collaboration, within both social services and others. So this is what entails the school program, school safety program by now. Then the question of the civilian firearms, versus late firearms being sort of, I think General Binal also responded to it later on if there's more to it we can ask. And then the such members losing state firearms, I'm not sure if I understood the question well, but the part of the question was whether these people are not criminals who are selling state firearms. I want to start by saying we apply the law equally and across. If we find any member of the community dealing with firearms, in the same way if we find any member of the service either selling firearms or ammunition, we arrest them and they will become criminals because they are no longer members of the service. And there are a few instances where we arrested some who are involved, but we then not using a general statement to say they are criminals, but there's other measures which are put in place from both the supply chain point of view with regard to improving and strengthening the controls on management of state firearms, but we also including these measures to the Firearms Control Act and also enforcement from the side of the CFR. Where state firearms got lost and there's no explanation, I think honorable members know that when state firearms get lost, we often get a case of it goes get investigated. So this is what I can say to them at the present moment, but we also appreciate any other information. Current pattern of dealing with the firearms, it's measures that I may not necessarily disclose much because they are also on the unconventional processes. We deal with these firearms involving members of NSSF, they're both conventional and unconventional level. And we also have corporate operations that are addressing some. Then,
I did ask if there was a record of serial offenders within the chat. I'm presuming if one uses a firearm, there's a record of a note, a letter, or something, a report. It's in a record, it's on your record, and it's there. So you, when I ask the question, which I'll do again through the ministry, are there serial offenders? Are there people who have lost 2, 3, 4 firearms? I mean, that speaks to me of a major issue, because that's thousands and thousands of brands just replacing every single one. But it tells me they're more than careless, so there's something going on there. So I will put the question to you again, officially, unless you can tell me right now.
Thank you very much, sir. Maybe I should respond straightforward and say, no, we don't have serial offenders. And I will substantiate it. Whenever a member of the service gets involved in any criminal Number one, we arrest this particular person. But after being arrested, the departmental processes immediately kicks in. And this person does not have an opportunity to be involved in the same crime again. But further to that, in terms of the Firearms Control Act, that member cannot be placed in a position where he would be exposed to firearms and we can be allowed to have the firearms. We have an experience to one after this one. Thank you. That's how I can respond to the procedure. Proceeding to the target drop on the vehicles and why not 50%? I think especially services we are guided by our previous performance, but two, I also indicated in the beginning that we do what we call target-based resource plan, also guided by the particular process. But I think I'm also going to give my quotes to add to this one on the target drop.
For 1450, the current previous financial year and the previous 4 years before that was at 46%. But we have increased that to 50% for the next NPE period. So the 46% as you said this year is the estimated performance of 1450 that is based on because that was our previous target. We have increased the target, but we looked at the past performance for the last couple of years, and one of the things that's impacting on our performance here is that as we improve the mechanisms for identifying vehicles and the data, and that's exactly what the honourable member mentioned, that the technology is improving in terms of the industry, we're using micro-dot technology, we are realising that we are linking more vehicles together in things. So we're increasing on that integrity, and that has moderating effect on the numbers for recovery. So we are looking, we will look at this target again in the next year, but we're trying to build a database of information based on the information of the last 2 years. It's come down steadily from 77% to 67%, and the indications of the score that will come down again to 14%. On that basis, we didn't want to set the target at 70% or 80%. We're trying to maintain a conservative target because we've seen a trend in this environment. But it is linked to the better technology that's being used, better data, maintenance of our data in this regard, and basically the management of this environment, especially the data management in this environment.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair. Moving to the question on the 13% recovery contract and why not 50%. I think the first thing that I wanted to explain here is that one, in your organized crime environment, you find that you are running certain projects and then contracts. And then some of those projects might be terminating this financial year. If say for instance you've got three past COVID operations that are terminating this year, then you must expect a very high that is recovered on the trust. But then, you will not anticipate that the same project will be terminated next year, but this project, they will go sometimes 2 or 3 years. So, we're just taking, trying to put forward to say, if our performance has been increased by a ratio of a number of project terminations, don't expect the same because we would then be looking at something else. And then there's also other information that we would get on that contract ourselves, what happened in heaven. It's very information based. But when we set the target, we set the target sustainable and then based on what we have already achieved. And then so that is whenever information comes out and the other processes, they become a bonus to this particular process. But we are also setting a target, trying to look at very realistic ways of dealing with it, including your resource planning. So, when we set the target at 13%, it obviously does not restrict us from pushing it higher up, and we do not necessarily reach it to them. Then the same principle would apply to liquor. And there was a similar question raised that is based on liquor. But on liquor, I also want to add the fact that the more we strengthen the GFO function, is the more your availability of income will also be tightened up. We are also trying to balance the two. At the second stage, we just want to be open about it and say the target was raised and did not make it. And we have resorted to other measures and other interventions in order to enhance the meeting of this particular target. And as a result, we then decided to maintain it as is. Then the CPF, why not at 100% or 95%? I think we have made provision for more stations that are coming to the fore. I think at the present moment there's plus minus 4 police stations that are targeted for opening. And such police stations, they will come to the present number, but they won't amount to 100%. So we need to work on it in this particular financially. But it also speaks to such an addition, not necessarily permanent police station structure. But from time to time, when you go especially on an outreach, if the National Commission is on an outreach, we are likely to get an outcry from communities on access to policing services. And at times it will escalate to the level where we end up with specialized or not contact. But we just made that particular provision, not to say we don't want to put it 100%. The reduction of reporting and not crime, I've spoken to it earlier on, just to say it's not that we are not targeting the crimes. Our understanding would be that once a crime is reported, then it has already taken place. But we are also not restricting or confining this to the three crimes which we have listed. It's just because those ones are private crimes, but it's also on all the crimes that we are putting in terms of the crime stage. Then the separation of state-owned firearms is a suggestion. There are other members who take a suggestion. I think we know the suggestion, and we will look at it. Then the taking of crimes, Honourable Chair, and based on the question, what can we do to make sure that we can be able to increase that reporting of crime? From our side, Chair, what I can put forward now, we prioritize public education, which we have developed a community policing framework, and what is key in the community policing framework is a public education program. And this public education program suggested that let it be integrated and multidisciplinary so that we work together. Then we've also, within sector policing, we've also given us a program which is sector policing education program. We've also decided, let us just take people of sector policing, let's tell them about sector policing, what is the benefit, so that their participation in the concept would also lead to increasing awareness. Then we put the community outreach, which is the national framework flowing down where we're trying to reach out to them. If we strengthen the implementation of the outreach, I think that's what we advocate. Then the last one on partnerships, I'm not necessarily reflecting on all the partnerships that we with the traditional leaders, with both the national house and provincial houses, we have a partnership plan, working together with them. And our understanding has been that your traditional leaders are also amongst the people, and they are also very influential if they are working together with us on that's just the increasing, that is the level of awareness. But in all our divisions, we are working together on increasing the level of awareness from FPS and then visible policy, even within public order. We are also introducing a public order education program. in which we target him out. I think this is up to the staff where we can respond. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Tolle. I think the National Commission, because you also want to give some comments, if anything from your side or your front.
Let me start from the patients and the issue that you raised around the increasing education. Indeed, the public education program is crucial. But we're also looking at other inward focusing mechanisms. I think one of the issues that keep on being raised by the public, I also pick it up on the victims of crime survey, that people get discouraged if they don't get treatment in terms of what is happening with their cases. From a CMF point of view, we're looking at the capability we've already established, where persons report and we're able to verify a cell phone to say, your case has been opened, this is the case number. We're wanting to extend that capacity to be able to progressively give feedback to people, because in that regard, they have confidence, and they will have confidence in our ability, and that we take their message seriously. So that's a big one, which is mechanism that is all PMS and all of us and patients should be looking into to ensure that we continue to give feedback. In that manner, we as officials are accounting to those who are seeking services from us, and we use technology as a means of advancing that. So that's one of the areas that we have been asking the environment to look into. That will also have speech for us, because in terms of perception, Jefferson, it will probably raise our perception to have to be seen that is department of human sense, what is such a given that you show people that you've applied, it has not yet come back in 15 days time, they send you an SMS, if you come and collect, it does make things very different. So we want to learn from this. We want to build on to what is already existing. The issue of increasing schools, I agree. I think we take note of it. It's a very good platform for us, Jefferson. And when we talk about prevention, we're not starting late. A safety and security and crime-savvy child is a very useful asset for this country. So we like to put more emphasis around the increased work program, because in terms of connecting, we are a little bit far, because connecting says how many schools are in this area, which police station are they linked into. And in terms of the our process of getting police to one of the schools, we can do more. The 5,000, we take such a treatment of the championship. The national targets, just to say, to remind the committee that remember we track 20 key targets when we look at our crime statistics. 17 are those that have to be reduced, and 3 are those that have gone to increase. And those 3 are the ones that are police driven. When we go on the roadblock, open the cars, we want to see, are we recovering more weapons? Are we recovering more drugs? When we go out to visit illicit, caverns, what details we confiscate? So 17 down, 3 up. So maybe that can be confusing when we start showing some of the targets, because it shows that we are leading the country of things that they should not be in the market like that. Like alcohol that is illicit, like guns that are not registered. So those who want to see going up instead of going down.
Thank you. Two of my questions, just for understanding. One deals with the question of the deputy session from Madame, where are they going to get to secure and understanding? And then the second issue relates to border policing. I referred to the remarks yesterday by the President as well in the National Assembly. Is there any support for that? Why are we going to increase the resourcing of that? I mean, we've been to the border, and I mean, it's a risk for us as a country. Part of the challenges we currently experience is also undocumented. It's not in your targets, but what are we going to do? jack up that environment that's critical for the community. Then while I'm busy, maybe for the next round, the question of the Alpha Bravo Charlie targets now is being removed to this IDP, because remember you're now reviewing that to look at the rural and urban environment. But my concern is, if we look at the resignation, I know the AG has been coming on that, and I don't know what's going to be the outcome this year, but it's essential that we build back into the NGS program. Because if we're talking sectoral policing, if we're talking about dealing with the rural environment, if we don't have, you know, baskets and measures going into the next 3 years, we're going to affect the ability to measure what is our service to the citizens. So I would really want to get a comment, are we going to have that next year in our plan, in the IPP, in terms of the rural and urban situation? Honourable Palabachi and then Honourable is all the members here.
Thank you, Chairperson. In the past, we used to have the adopt a cop, used to have adopt a cop. Do you still have a second one? Is on, have you finalized the implementation of sector policing in all the police stations? And if not, how many are still outstanding? Thank you.
Thank you. Two brief responses on the on the replies we had in the previous round. The one is to say, now that I understand the nature of the demographic analysis that was mentioned in the previous statements we had, that it's not about analysing the police station itself, it's about analysing the policing sector, if you will, or the surrounding community. I'm mostly glad to hear that and how it's going to be rolled out, because it would be useful for assessing the usefulness of the indicators I flagged as being worrisome for me. Because if you're looking at census data and all the relevant sort of information that would be picked up by that analysis, if that data speaks to surroundings that have endemic contributing factors to social crime, as we have here, then I would like to think that we're not going to have any kind of contradiction between what the outcomes of the targets are saying and what the environment suggests should be happening. So, yeah, it's just, and just also to say that my question was not about the manipulation or the distortion of crime stats once they're in the system. It's about the fact that incentives could be unintentionally set up for the stats not to enter the system in the first place. I used to work at an NGO that partnered with community organizations dealing with gender-based violence, and I know of stories where a woman goes to report domestic abuse at a police station, and she's encouraged either to go back home and attempt reconciliation with her husband, or they send the rest to the magistrate's courts to get a protection order, because the police don't want that case entering their books. I'm not saying it's widespread, I'm not saying it's endemic, but the risk is there. So that's why I sort of flagged that. And just while we're there, I need to point out that some of these percentages in the column of estimated performance 2014-15 do not seem to be correct. Because if you calculate the percentage shift from actual performance 2013-14 and the estimated one 2014-15, the percentage is actually different if you calculate from those absolute figures. So that needs to be corrected, please, because if this goes in the public domain, it's going, people might look at the percentage and think that's accurate, but the absolute figures and the shift between them say something else. It's actually 6% for serious crimes, 5% for crimes against women, and 0.1 for crimes against children. So, yeah, just flag that.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Commissioner Scott, I very appreciate the nice straight talk. Like you said, we did not get a target. And we decided that the target is a difficulty. So I think that I must appreciate that kind of talk, straight talk. Then we can negotiate how to get out. Now, two things that I want to come back to. The one about 3%. I'm talking now about crime that feels dependent on the police action. The success of police bringing or combating crime successfully depends on the visible policing and what we do, the kind of what we do. So that's, if you like, the spine of the position, because everything else will then react to it. So if Commissioner were to increase the Dumelang Lekai campaign in the country, do you suggest that the 3% will communicate the positive message into the police and the country in terms of combat, that particular? I'm talking now here, specifically. If you were to increase that, would you think that the 50% would be a difficult number to achieve? I don't think so. I think, Commissioner, if you were to deal with this issue about drugs, particularly the same campaign of Melan and Kai, Kandago, the 3% that we're talking about here is a very, very small number. My concern about it and what it communicates is a silent message that the leader leaves on particularly those particular kind. For you, it's okay because you don't want to be to put your head on the floor on certain things. But for us and for the country and for the people that are dependent to communicate differently, you know a message of 3% combating or confiscation of drugs communicated to the drug lords, to the high flyers. It communicates a message that you're giving up, that the country is giving up. So for me, it's not so much of inward, because this one is really inward type of a target. It's inward looking. The protection mechanism that you look at, we don't want to be called a failure, but if you want to communicate a different and positive message, we will re-look at it. Because for me, with 72 billion budget, I really don't think it is a positive one. Maybe General Kika as well, in terms of this, you should cover it. But I think that this one, we need to review this target. I don't think that the over 1,000 police stations in the country will be back on this Dumelang Lekai. It's not a periodic type of action. It's a daily program that we use ourselves with that part of the work we do. You will definitely close the space for this. I mean, what are you, there's an issue of these taverns and non-taverns and illegal taverns. The police, all of the states never have all of it. But it's just an issue about the leadership drive that part in the program. So may I persuade you that perhaps, particularly this section, for this section is a critical section for the success of bringing down, because it depends on your action. It's a police action that we can give you. So I think that, Chair, with respect and respecting the resources, I think it needs to be just, I don't think it's something we can write home about. But certainly, even if we were to speak in the chamber of budget, at this one, it will tell us that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Rabatkar, Honorable Park.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to go back to the question of my understanding is that Nyaupe has been led in the discussions, meaning that the Tancom Coxia has been led in Lima. And surely, if it is declared illegal, it means already it's known what the ingredients are. Because my understanding was, it was difficult. Yeah, as a concoction, as and maybe Dacha, it's only in direction Krems. So you can combine those things and still find that it's not an easy task. So the fact that now the concoction, the mixture of those things, if you mix those things, then you make something easier. I was thinking that maybe already there's a rollout on how to deal with it. So it must have, if it's taken as a priority, maybe driven by a So I just want to understand, since it was glad regard as a concoction, how far are we? Was it by the self for? And what are the programs? And so on and so on. And then on a lighter note, I see from the letter from the National Commissioner's Office, it's written, the letter is in Afrikaans and English only. I was just wondering whether this, because maybe the stationery that was left over from some time ago or whatever.
Thank you, Honorable Mark. I just want to, one additional issue. I saw that on page 72, that another 32 million that is allocated to youth, children, and gender based violence. I just want to know exactly, is that part of the school program? Where does it fit in? Because if we look at the other items, it's a very small amount. So it's just a thank you, National Commissioner. Over to you, Nicky.
Thank you, Jefferson. Let me see whether issues are left out from your side. The border policing and prioritization. I have quite an idea. First, let me say there's a PMA that is bringing us all together. We are actively participating here. We are also leading some of the committees. So in that regard, we are also gearing ourselves to make sure that we make integrated border management initiative of the state work. But there's another part that requires us to manage the borders and maritime side. We must make sure that the first 12 nautical miles are taken care of. There's Operation Pakita of the state looking at economic activities in that space. We need to develop a related security program to support that. I wish to say the Netherlands were even focused too. I think border management has been lagging behind, partly because of the way it was structured. It was firstly centralized and then it was decentralized. So the standardization and the uniform focus fell off. We taken a decision to regroup because of that being a priority. And also in terms of resourcing, we'll be looking at it differently this year because clearly if we look at a number of issues that are facing us, they are also highly dependent on us also being an equal participant in driving the agenda to ensure that our borders are well taken care of. We, therefore, before you submit weaknesses that are facing in this area, and we are prioritizing in terms of our resourcing, our plan. And perhaps at some point, we may also wish to be given an opportunity to share how we are planning to reorganize that space for efficiency in such a place. The other area that you raised as the same was around the deputy station commanders and the 100 areas. I just want to comment before you start telling. Maybe talk about how they plan the 100,000. Just to say, this program is aimed at ensuring that we have a focused investment in terms of administration and management of our stations, while at the same time we give an equal focus in ensuring that the policing as an out-of-looking program requires fine the ability to do so.
vampires of the hand of the station commander. There are two reasons for also how we will be rolling out a program. In the rural areas, because of the sheer distances, it therefore becomes very important to ensure that the station commander also is safe to reach out to the southern areas from where the station is, while the station is being managed. In terms of the urban area, the density and the intensiveness of the programs in those, there's also a human balance to ensure that we take care of the rural areas because of their dynamic that is very different from urban. Urban is more intensity of work also, even though concentrated. So all those kind of dimensions will be taken into account, and I'm sure the story will touch on a number of those. We welcome the challenge that has been given to say we mustn't communicate hopelessness with some of the challenges that they're facing. Even though we're looking at past performance, what we're hearing is that we should go for stretch targets, and we welcome this. We're going to look at it earlier, chapter in terms of how we much more vigorously go into increasing our challenges to deal with this issue of trans, legal issues, you know, all those type of aspects. Thank you. We welcome that. We would feedback to the committee on how we have engaged the challenge. The Nyanga issue, I think General Stoddard will touch on that, because I think there's much, much more that needs to be done there. And I may just mention that another challenge that we're facing is the courts, where they are starting to say certain quantities, they are not in we, others do not dispute with the Nyanga, and then the court throws out the cases because they just say the quantity are too small to deal with those type of cases. But what they are forgetting is that we have now become a consuming country as opposed to a transiting, you know, a transit platform. But so at those small quantities, that's where the destruction of violence is coming. So if our courts are not prepared to work with us in that space, it becomes very, very problematic. And if we look at our clients, you kind of see that street robberies are increasing because all they want to take is your goggles, so they get children to go and buy whatever. So our country should be able to move with us because the nature of crime is becoming more minute. It is spreading nicely, minute to the market. So I think our courts are remaining behind. They are still looking at size from a very wrong dimension. Whilst it is the measurable in terms of our society, I think in an area where maybe in time there could be dialogue between stakeholders in this space where we are having challenges. I think that General Scott, can you deal with the 100? Or maybe for me to let Honorable Mulibas, you raised the issue of adopted costs, adopted school. The adopted cop program was focused on saying take cops to a school. Let them compete before the students by just saying this is what we can do for you as a cop. And then the children will choose who they prefer of these boys. So this is a certain part of it. The adopted school program, we are saying once you connect the school to a police station, there must be a very structured process of engaging that school. How do we do so? We are saying that school must be dedicated at a minimum of 3-4 police who the school know that constable so-and-so and officer so-and-so, sergeant so-and-so, captain so-and-so are the police that are supporting the school and dedicated to adopt the school. Not that they don't have access to other police, but they know that those are the principal know that I can pick up the phone and talk to captain so-and-so, one of the officers so-and-so, the end of the year. Two, they will go and participate in that school safety committee. They must sit in the meetings in those integrated sessions of the school safety committee. Thirdly, they must be there in those schools to promote crime and
depending on the needs of the particular school. If there's a genuine problem, they must lecture, they must bring experts to talk to those schools because they know about policy improvement. So it's a very active way of saying, can police get involved in this school safety program? So that, those are the slight differences between the two.
Okay, thanks, Honourable Chair. In terms of the sector costing, the number of stations were implemented is 1,097. And the those that we still need to continue to implement 41. Then continuing again to the question by the Honourable Member, I just needed them to add and say at a police station, each and every police station in the country has a service charter. And the service charter is linked to the frontline service delivered. Now, if a member of the public comes to the police station, report a case and is chased away, through the frontline service delivery approach and the service charter, we're able to pick that up, so that is one of the measures. But I also want to say the beginning process of steps start with the number who is coming to box case at the hospital. So the measures that we are putting in place against any person taking a person back, they are the same as crime sex manipulation. So it's a serious misconduct. So that's how we are looking at it. The correction of columns, I think we have not had, we will not get into a deeper explanation of them. I think we take note of it because also learning from the advice of members of the portfolio committee. The 3% the national commissioner is addressing, although the honorable member was outside, actually will be taking a look at it, will make recommendations to the National Commission. But again, we are also dealing with the revised draft master plan approach. From within the National Council of Education Environment, we are trying to get social services to play a far more active role in the operationalization of the draft master plan. But from our side, we are working on our own departmental master plan, which we are operationalizing within, and we brought all the role players on board. The National Commission has addressed the question of, you know, okay, I think we're taking the advice of the portfolio committee to just add it to those particular approaches. But the rollout program, the national program, has already started. I think at the present moment we are addressing it at, I think it's 24 hotspots nationally. But the important again just to also emphasize what the National Commissioner was saying. At the present moment, in terms of our latest calculations, it's between 98% and 99% of all the cases against the Nawube kids. They are not put on the road. Some of them they get drawn at the police station before they could get to the road. Simplest explanation, the packet is too small. And from a modus operandi perspective, the criminal is deliberately made that packet not to be prosecutable. And they continue to make it, and then you will arrest this kid, the case goes nowhere from the line. They make lines buying that thing. And they already there to line up, not 500 meters, my police station, they'll do it. And you take him from the line, you arrest him, then they decide, they say, this kid come back to the line. And then line up, then buy, and even smoke and weed. We have an example of one who was smoking while the pastor was preaching, and he's a girl, 14 years. And the pastor says, no, stop smoking, you see I'm preaching, and this girl said, no. I can only listen to you as only others smoke and I want to repent, But if you don't allow me to smoke, I will not be able to listen to the word of God. So I took a pastor and I told him, okay, smoke then. Then she had to smoke and finish, and she started listening very cooperatively to the pastor. So I think that got to that dynamic, but we said we're going to be submitting a report to the National Commission. The National Commission is going to lead us to engage in national politicians, because I think that's the first thing that we need to correct in terms of this. If the budget for a youth and development giving to the National Commission.
Thank you. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, the amount that's indicated for youth children and gender based violence, $32 million, is in addition to our normal operational budget, where you will service delivery to everybody, including women, children and youth. But this is specifically to do with those programs where we're trying to build specific capacity and reach out to young people, for instance, through the rearranging of virtual youth summit in every province, where that's involving young people from communities, other stakeholders, basically towards building youth crime prevention strategies in every province, and really building a program where police work with young people. So that's one specific aspect. The second aspect is both in terms of children child protection or children at risk, reaching out to children and working with communities to educate them to exactly the programs young stories referring to earlier, the outreach programs, public education programs. So that funding is set aside to allow police to work with community structures to educate, reach out, and specifically address how we can prevent crimes against women and children. It speaks also to our community policing framework and working with community policing structures on specific outreach and community education programs on crime prevention programs in communities. So that is definitely will not be spent at national level. It will be spent because the work we do is done with provinces, and won't be spent at national level. Control from a national level, working with provinces to ensure that we have, we target those priorities, and that amount doesn't vanish into the operational policing priorities, which can be often more consuming. So it allows us to prioritize specific programs for young people, for children at risk, which will be good child defenders, for child protection programs, programs targeting the elderly and disabled, and also, for instance, the programs we're going to refer to in terms of the young people.
Yeah, thanks for having said. I think the National Commission spoke to the question of the refugee station commander. Just from our side, we are prioritizing the high crime rate stations, which are the easy stations. The examples are Ivory Central, Devon North, and the Richard Plains Group. Just all those. We're also looking at the rural trade priority stations, which is within your rural safety strategy. We also looking in the contact crime spaces, which you will see that is also a priority here. But it's also linked to the FSD program, because we also 500 spaces there where we must implement what we need to the initiative. The United States your advice on the Alpha Bravo, and we I think the National Commission also acknowledged that. Just the last well, with your permission, National Commission, because the border, our border members are here, maybe generals who are like comment or with the general chief. But I think the National Commission is a fair question. Yes, thank you.
So when we can achieve from a note, we will then come into you for presentation on the border. I think at a broad level that I've covered it. But the letter here on the right note, it's a diverse approach. Some of the policies is in nice, Lesotho and English. Some is good, very good culture in English. So maybe we have to look at Mishnah, because Mishnah is gone for English and Africans. It's a diverse approach. We know it's a wonderful member. Chair, the last slide in this presentation is for now. It's just to ask you about schedule. To deal with slide number 72, which comes to the apportioning of resources to this program.
Yeah, thank you. I just had one issue. I don't know about the other members, but the issue of manpower, because 50% of the budget in terms of the Mukela's presentation, you aim 97%, 98% of the establishment. But I just want to know if it's realistic. Having all the resources available, I mean, earlier this week this was reported there's a
think of 3,000 shorties in the Western Cape, and I believe it's mostly visible greasing. You know, if we look at the trends of people that are dying, sick leave, natural attrition and so on, General Sithole, will you have that 98% invisible greasing? That is the question. Of course, when members visit police stations and constituencies, we go around the complaints from the station commanders, this one is sick, this off, this one is applying for leaving the service, all those issues. Will you have 98% to deal with issues on the ground?
Yeah, I think there are a number of areas that need to be addressed in this year. I'm going to ask human resources to come in, as well as gender resources. I perhaps keep that this way. In particular for Western Cape, the manner in which we were recruiting to deal with transformation requirements put a lot of burden in the Western Cape, because people that apply from all over the country, they'll come and work here. The sooner they are settled, they then want to migrate back closer to their homes. How we have dealt with that one was starting to look very closely at localized treatment at an entry level. But we're already settled with that program somewhere in the, you know, from the, you know, lower to the upper level. So it's a very big lesson for us to say that is not the only way to achieve the transformation. But also the rulings of the Correctional Service EE case, which is starting to interpret issues of equity from additional cases, are assisting us in this regard. Secondly, we've also asked the province to look at ringlessness. Those that were good at left because maybe they had challenges of sorts, and that program is very advanced in this province to help us to accelerate to deal with the backlogs that they are having in terms of filling the position. I think I'll have Becker to talk to some of the issues.
Thank you,
Chairman.
I think from HR perspective, we have a commitment of actually assisting, especially the Western Cape, but not only the Western Cape, but the provinces in terms of, I mean, of personnel, looking at the en masse essence that is also taking place. I think one of the things that we are going to be doing are the readmissions, I mean, as we indicated in yesterday, that we are going, because some of the people leave the service not because really they wanted to leave, but because they had certain issues and they wanted to settle their details, everything. They are still wanting to come back. So we are going to be looking at the readmissions, of course, with great caution in terms of that. But we are also, to assist the provinces, because they have indicated that. We are also looking at the different forms, even in terms of recruitment, in order to ensure that we resource the stations as quickly as we can. One of them, for instance, is what is spelled out in the NDP document, that is talking about the multiple levels in terms of recruitment. In other words, looking at those people that already have, qualifications in the direction of policing, and then putting them into a program that would be an agreed program, in terms of that, because they already have, the theoretical side, so they will need to be capacitated in terms of the practical side of policing, and then taking that. So the recruitment also is running back to back at the present moment, because in Western Cape we've been receiving, we allocated them about 1,000 plus posts for this round. These are the students that are going to be coming in now. But because we know that it is a 2-year program before they actually come back to the stations, that is why re-enlistment is also part of that, to ensure that we close the gap meanwhile. So we need to have very good to assist the problems. And not just to our HR fixed establishment plan, is to resource these stations 100%.
highly efficient 11, which is key for us.
The target of 98% is reachable in terms of your plan.
Yes, yes, okay, I really can correct her in experience, the rate of rates. And I know that what we have with diabetes is way ahead of 300 of people that are but diabetes with the screening and all those type of issues. So we will be able to reach our target.
Before we skip that slide, any other questions from the members to the right? Right hand members, General Skipper, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. To a large extent, if you've already heard this much, so it seems to me you actually have already studied it, and so I think my other wonderful members may have done so as well. As we've said, we're dealing with the biggest program, and I think we've also seen in the pie chart this morning, it's a significant program all in all, with four sub-programs, of which one of the NCS is not the biggest sub-program in the whole budget, $29 million. So, and then we refer to the LMSA once again, in order to give members more of an idea what the detail is that you will find in those sub-programs. And we refer them to the crime prevention element, the low-police element of $13 million, the K-9 units, the mounted police, the youth gender-based violence, which Zero Pinar has already alluded to, the flank squad, and then also the detained persons, the nutrition, because we have to feed those detainees. Then the water security, which you referred to, 1.753 billion, so 5.64% increase from the previous year. You referred slightly to the fact that maybe how can we increase some of the resources there. It is a question that one possesses an opportunity cost, you will have to take away someplace else. But we've taken note of the concern, or of the concern, the indication of the prominence thereof. Then also, we must maybe just refer and not forget the water management agency model that's coming, that new model that's coming, which might also impede here and play a very important role in time to come. Then also the specialized interventions, which include the special task force. I think I've already referred to it when we're starting the other committee, national intervention units, technical response teams, and then also the POPS units. That's amounting to 1.86 billion. And then also we have had a discussion on facilities even under this, was it before we took on this program regarding the teachers, the municipal services, and the accommodation charges in this regard. So, all in all, a very big program, a lot of, shall I say, specialized environments, and also addressing, if I can use that jargon, localized police station, localized police and your police station. That's it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Any final comments on your side? Thank you very much, honourable members, for your contributions this morning. Also to the delegation on SAS and National Police Team, I think it was a very positive and productive interaction. I think we have noticed all the commitments in terms of program 1 and 2. We will of course monitor it as we go along. So the recommendations we include in our process, we appreciate that. We will reconvene on Tuesday, so I think we'll take the services and hopefully we can deal with all the programs. I think if we don't achieve that, there will be better possibility to use time of the second meeting. But thank you very much, Mr. Minister. I think there's good indications that SAPS is on track in terms of what we should do to ensure that we deliver.